Hey, turn in your Bibles with me. We're going to go quickly to, let's go over, I'm just going to bring this word, and it may sound in the beginning like it's pretty heavy, it probably is, but you know what? It's something that we must have right now, because there's so much going on in the world, and you know, with the news and everything that we are hearing, I'll tell you what, they can do whatever they're doing and act the way they're acting and say what they're saying. But you and I have to know what we are saying. We have to know what's on the inside of us and what's going on there. Now, let me say this before we go on. So I'd like to say what we do here is we have usually a song or two and worship the Lord. And then I bring a brief devotional. And then we just sit and pray. We sit. You can walk and pray around the banners. We still have Rick, Randy, we put the banners back up. They're down for a while, and usually at prayer we'll put them up. They're just a point of contact where you can go and touch them and pray. Or you can go on a flat platform and pray, or just sit in your seat and soak in his presence and talk to him about what you want to talk to him about. But at that time, I'm going to ask you, Pastor Randy, when I open for prayer, if you or Elia, either one or both, could just give me a brief 3 or 4 minutes, again, tonight's going to be brief, on what you've learned about prayer. I know prayer is so important to you. And if you just could encourage us about the power of prayer, and I think that would be great. Just add something to what this house believes and what we do. All right, you got 2 Chronicles 25. Sister Kathy's not here. So usually we have the words. Oh, I forgot our offering. Well, you can bring the offering when we're praying, okay? Thank you, Parker, for reminding me. But we will pray over our offering in a moment, and then we'll bring it while we're praying. Kathy isn't here tonight to put our scriptures up. So I will just tell you the story, because it can get lengthy if I don't. And it's very, very powerful. So look at 2 Chronicles chapter 25, and I'll probably read just 2 or 3 scriptures out of this, but you need to read the entire thing when you get home. 2 Chronicles 25, verse 1. Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. Now look at this. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a loyal heart. That means not wholeheartedly, that NIV says. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not wholeheartedly, not with a loyal heart. And in the Old Testament, see, when the Chronicles talked about the kings, it would either say, and this king did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, or he did what was right in the eyes of the God of their fathers, or he did not do right. He was an evil king. So now this is the first time I think that we'll pretty much see it written that I can remember that he did what was right, but he was not loyal. So it happened as soon as the kingdom was established for him that he executed his servants who had murdered his father, the king. And somebody say, I don't blame him. Well, okay. So he executed the guys who killed his father. And verse 4 said, however, he did not execute their children, but did as it was written in the law of the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not be put to death for their children, and nor the children, nor shall the children be put to death for their fathers, but a person shall die for his own sin. So when you look at that and you see that he was doing what was right, let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about us. They may think that we are the best thing since sliced bread, but God is the one that knows our heart. And you can be all popular and you know, be the mayor of the city, the president of the United States, the school teacher or the pastor or anyone you want to be. But if you, all of that doesn't matter to God. He still looks at the heart. And he knows we're either right in his eyes or we're not. And other people can judge, and maybe you have no contacts. You're not popular anywhere, and that doesn't matter. You have no money. Some have a lot of money. They drive an old jalopy. It doesn't matter what you have or what you don't have. But God looks and says, that person's got a beautiful heart. Or you are the president of the United States. Or you are a wealthy man, a wealthy woman. And God knows there's a perfect heart right there. She's perfect to me. I love that man. And God looks at our hearts and he sees. But I'm going to tell you, it's better. See, even though we knew he had faults and he didn't follow wholeheartedly after God, God loved him anyway. But here's the deal. You'll find out as we get down to the end of the chapter, it just didn't go well for him. It just does not go well to play two parts, to talk out of both sides of your mouth, or to act one way with the people and be another way at home. It just does not play well for us. It gets us into big, big trouble. Now, I want to show you this. There's a lot of armies coming against them in chapter 5. It says, moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and set over them captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, according to their fathers' houses, throughout all Judah and Benjamin, and he numbered them from 20 years old and above. So the only guys in his army were 20 years old and above, and he found them to be 300,000. What kind of men? Choice men, able to go to war, who could handle the spear and the shield. So now, King Amaziah has 300,000 men that God has provided him. He ruled down in the south side of Jerusalem, or Israel, down in the south. And the people in the north, they were ruled by another king, but they were full of idolatry. They were their idol worshipers. And so God had provided for him. He loved God. And so God took good care of him. He was right in the eyes of God. And 300,000 choice men that was talented with bows and arrows or whatever kind of weapons they had. But look at verse 6. Here's where you start to meddle and get yourself in trouble. He also hired 100,000 mighty men of valor from Israel for 100 talents of silver. Now, when you look that up, Brother Jeff, that's 3 tons of silver. That's a whole bunch of silver, 3 tons. So now he had 300,000 men, but he began to get greedy in his heart. And he thought, well, that's good, God. That's really good. But if I just had 100,000 more, I believe I could make this work better. And so it says he also hired 100,000 men from the north. Okay, so he knew that they didn't mix with him. You got to watch who you mix with. You got to mix with who you mix your oil with or your anointing. Watch out who you run with. Watch out and see if you have like spirits, because that will get you in trouble. So he hired that 100,000 men, gave them all this silver, never asked God what you think about that. But look at verse 7. But a man of God came to him and said, O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel, not with any of the children of Ephraim. They're idol worshipers. You can't mix with them. Please stay away from them. Verse 8. But if you go, be gone. Be strong in battle. Even so, God shall make you fall before the enemy. Now look at this. For God has power to help, and he has power to overthrow. So if you want to play with God, you can play with him. If you want to run with these people that you shouldn't be running with, there will be a price to pay, and it won't be very pretty. Now I'm going to tell you something. How many times have you heard, I've heard it as a pastor, and I'm sure you have too, as you know, we've all got good friends. And you give them warning, and you say, you know what? You know, have you prayed about getting engaged to this girl? Oh, yes, I have, Pastor. Oh, I'm telling you, she's the one, man. She's fine. I love her with all my heart. Well, I don't know. You know, she's not saved. She doesn't go to church. She doesn't love the Lord. But I already gave her the ring. I already gave her gifts, Pastor. I already got this. She's already sent out the invitations. It doesn't matter, church. I mean, this man of God came and said, you better back out. Well, I've already paid them all this tons of silver, 3 tons. Well, son, it doesn't matter. I mean, you can go. Just be gone. If you're going to go, do it, do it. But I'm just telling you, it's not going to work. Well, I've already partnered up with this partner. I've already done this and that. My husband came home one evening from the ranch out the field, being on a horse all day. And he came in and he said, you know, he said, I'm thinking about partnering with so-and-so up on the reservation. They have cattle ranch up there and, you know, and his cows are healthy. And I'm thinking of going into a partnership with him. And I said, well, Rick, I said, did you talk to the Lord about that? And he said, yeah, but he said, you know, he's a great guy. And I said, yeah, I know he's a great guy. And you know what? It may be really good for us if you do partner with him. It may be good, but it's a really big deal. So, and already, see, God was starting to give us more property. Now we're up to 1,800 acres, and we kept leasing more land. And now we've got... No, we had just about 2,000 acres. Now we got 800 head of cattle and 10 horses. So God is just pouring it out and just blessing us as we go. And I said, now, Rick, look how God is blessing us. But let's make sure we got the right partner. What's this partner want from us? And what, you know, how's this going to go? Well, anyway, we prayed together about it. Very simple prayer. You know, about just told the Lord about it. I mean, it took probably 2 minutes. See, you don't have to pray all day long. Prayed about 2 minutes. Lord, you know, so-and-so on the res, we both love he and his wife, but is this right? Do you know that guy came to Rick that week and said, you know what? I am so sorry. I am going to have to back out of that deal. Now, we really didn't want to hurt them and make them think that, you know, but it wasn't a good mix. And, you know, there's wisdom in the world. There's worldly wisdom. But see, you've got to talk to God on anything you're about to do, because you may say, I was praying about buying that car, buying that house, or doing this. And you say, but then you begin to feel a check mark inside you, and your wife or your husband says, honey, I don't know. We may ought to think about this. And you're like, I already went to the bank. I've already got the loan papers filled out. Well, so what? You can't compromise just because you've already done some things. But see if God is in it. And I promise you, church, I promise you he will speak to you about it. Now look at this. He had already hired the 100,000 men. But I love this because the man of God said, now God can either help you or he can overthrow you. So you get mixed up with the wrong people and you might get overthrown. Now it's not God that overthrows you. But that person might overthrow you, or that situation might, that deal might. But he said, or God can help you, whichever you choose. Well, I'll tell you what, look at this church. Look at it. I'm going to tell you what, God was our partner. He still is our partner. And I don't care how many 50,000 men tell me to go another direction. We see God, we hear from God. Brother Randy, y'all got to hear. And say, God, what are you saying? You'll have some very good men in your church, good men and women, and they'll tell you, Pastor, we need to. And you've got to say, let me see what the Lord says about it. Because let me tell you something. I eat, live, breathe, dream, and think this house. While y'all are out working or playing with the kids or going here or watching a movie with your husband or your wife, this is my life. Okay? And so Jesus paid a price for it. My family paid a price for it. That little girl, when she's 7 years old, she paid a big price. The price is paid. And so I appreciate all of you praying for us. And look, together we did this. We put our money together. God knows how to take a little here and a little there and a whole lot here and put all kinds of people in the house to make it work. He said, I can either help you or I can overthrow it. Well, I don't want to be overthrown, do you? So, verse 9, then Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do about that 100 talents which I have already given to the troops of Israel? And the man of God answered and said, the Lord's able to give you much more than this. Okay, you've lost. Now, if you send them home, you've already lost 3 tons of silver. You've already lost that. But God's able to give you much more than that. So if you will stand up for God after you've compromised about something, I promise you, he'll give you more than that. Because the little old song the kids used to sing, little is much when God is in it. Sometimes with God, less is more. And sometimes more is less. And in this situation, more was going to get this man in trouble. If Gideon had stayed with all the 10,000 troops, but God brought Gideon's army down to 300 men. But he let this guy have 300,000. So I think we'll just stop right there. So, well, let me say, Amaziah discharged the troops that had come to him from Ephraim. And he said, go back home. And therefore their anger was greatly aroused. That's number 10. Their anger was greatly aroused against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. People will get mad at you. You say, I just can't. Look, I know we talked about it, but I'm going to have to bail out of this one. You're a businesswoman, Laura. You know what I'm talking about, honey. You've had to go there sometimes. And you don't want to. But just make sure you get in that prayer closet. And you talk to Jesus. And you talk simply. And you may not get an answer that day. But I promise you, when you go out there, yesterday morning, we had Tony and Thurma's, Tony's service right here. And I knew that their kids were not serving the Lord. And I knew that, you know, some of you would be here. They all sat right here on the front row, filled two rows. And I went and got in my closet. And I said, Lord Jesus, I know how to do funeral services. I know how to do that. You know that. I've done so many. But Lord, it won't be worth 2 cents if you don't put a touch on me. If you don't touch my words to touch these people and everyone there. I got up. That's about all the words I said. I didn't have time to sit there. I was already needed to get down here. And I came on down in faith. See, when you talk to him, believe he hears you. Though he says anything or not, just get up and go on. So I got up and came on down. And got up there, and sometimes I'm just doing this because I'm so nervous. Say, are you kidding me, Pastor? No, no. Sunday mornings, I can't even hardly write a check out. I get nervous because I know that I'm standing for him, and I'm standing in front of you. And I know how he is, and he loves us, but he wants us to depend on him. And you know what Thurma said, Pastor? Woo, she said, I called her last night. She said, I had such a peace come on me. She said, that was the greatest day for me. They've been married 67 years. She said, that was one of my best days ever. And she said, some of my kids said, Pastor, or said, Mama, I want to start going to your church. Some of the friends said, I want to go to your church. What was that? I mean, Tony spoke for himself. He's very easy to talk about. It wasn't anything profound. He was easy to talk about. But in the end, you just hit him with the gospel. Very, very simple message. So what was it? It was that touch of God. The touch. And you know where it came from, Abby? That morning in my bedroom at my prayer chair. Lord, would you just come? You know I can't do without you. Just come, just come, just come. Simple. So anyway, I know you've invested in some things, but here's how we need to pray tonight. God, Father, help me to make the right choices. What do you want me to do? Help me to do what's right in my business, for my family, with my daughter, with my son. They're coming over. Help me to know what to say, what not to say. Help me to know what to do at my job, with my money. How do I spend my money? What do I do about that ugly, filthy mess? What am I going to do? Hallelujah. Would you ask God that? Brother Randy, you got anything? If you don't, it's fine. Come here real quick. Elia, if you got something, sweetheart, come up here. I honor these two. Brother Randy was one of our first youth pastors, was with us for all these. Have a seat right there, sweetheart. Come here.
Randy, I love you.
Hallelujah.
I know you know how.
One of the things I love about prayer is it's heaven's currency. Listen, if we're going to spend any time connecting with God, that's where it's going to be. There's worship, we're lifting up, but one of the things that we really stand on, me and my wife, is there's no such thing as faith accidents. Come on, we do stuff intentionally. And first things first, you better know who you're praying to. Is God God or not? Come on, there's no in between. He's either the healer or he's not. Come on, he's your deliverer or he's not. He's your breakthrough or he's not. And he's given us the biggest and greatest gift that we can ever have, which is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the one who comforts us and helps us. See, the great thing about the Holy Spirit being the helper is he's not the go-doer. Well, I know that probably shook some of y'all. What do you say? He's your helper. Now, if I needed to move this, and my faith is at that, Lord, I believe God, I release it in the name of Jesus. It will move, but I don't put my hands to it. It will not move. Now, if I have the Holy Spirit on one end, and it's kind of heavy, the Holy Spirit on one end, and I grab my end, what do you think is going to happen? I'm telling you, God will move that mountain. God will move that tree. God will move whatever you speak to and tell it in the name of Jesus to be moved. I don't know what it is that you're going through. I don't need to know what it is that you're going through. The Holy Spirit knows what you're going through. And by him knowing what you're going through means that he is there, ready, and able to help you. You just got to know who you're with. Okay, we're doing this. We're doing this, right? Come on, because if we're going to move this and we're going to release our faith, I mean, it's one thing to say, you probably heard this, you know, this testimony before, but there was a minister that they were going to a minister conference in the middle of the desert, and on his way there, his car broke down. And as he was getting, he was walking and walking, he was getting thirsty, he was getting hot, and he was going, and he finally gets to the church, and they all notice him, and they look at him, and they say, oh, Lord, give him some water. And they gave him water, and they grabbed that water, and they said, he looked at that water, and he said, God, I believe if I drink this water, I shall not die. Whew, man, you could feel the anointing, right? I mean, they're all, whoo, yeah, and they're all, amen, amen. Yeah, my God, if I drink this water, I shall not die but live. Yeah, they were getting excited. I mean, he got up. He started, oh, I believe if I drink this water, I shall not die. Guess what? He died. Why do you think he died? He didn't drink that water. Come on. Sometimes you're just going to have to do your part. And our part is when we confess and believe who Jesus is. When we go to these signs. Now, I've been praying with Pastor for years and years and years on these signs. These signs are anointed. I'm going to go and I'm just going to touch them and get some. I know y'all been praying on them. Amen. But when you're going there, that is only a point of contact for you to focus with intent that which you are praying for and believing for. You go to that sign with intent. You go there knowing who you're praying to. My God, you will hear about my finances. My God, you will hear about my healing. My God, you will hear about that lost soul, my lost loved one. Amen. That's who we're praying to. And guess who we got? We got the Holy Spirit. We got the Helper. Did you have anything? Huh? Come on, they ain't heard you.
Well, they already heard a couple of things. So, you know, when I think about prayer, I think about when Jesus, it says in the Bible that he went to the Gethsemane right before he was crucified. And, you know, in that scripture, it says that he took some disciples with him, but then it's in Matthew 26. But then it says that then he just took two more with him, the sons of Zebedee. Now, he took a few people with him, but when he went a little further, he only took two with him. So what she was saying earlier about making sure the people that are around you are correct, that includes the people you're praying with, too, because he knew who to go a little further with. And then it says that he was praying and saying, Lord Jesus, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, my will, not my will, but your will be done. And you know that God always asks us to do something that we're not always comfortable with. He always asks us to step out of our comfort zone, because without that, there's no growth. But I love that Jesus did too. He said, I don't want to do this. I don't let this cup pass from me. And that's Jesus himself. So I don't feel real bad when I tell the Lord, I don't want to do that. But what do I do when I feel like I don't want to do that? I go a little further like Jesus did. I get on my face until my will conforms to his will. Amen. And that's all he's asking us to do. There's no way that God cannot bless obedience. Amen. He will honor his word. And when you honor him, when you don't want to, when you're in prayer and he's dealing with you about things you don't want to be dealt with, I'm telling you, there's honor. There's honor and obedience, and he will take care of that situation. This scripture in Matthew 26 says he went a little further. Amen. And so I encourage you tonight, when you're praying for whoever, whatever one of these banners, or when you're praying for your pastor, you're praying for your marriage, you're praying for your children, you're praying for revival, go a little further. Go a little bit further like Jesus did. Amen. Put your face before him and stay there until we conform our will to his. Amen. Amen.
Thank you guys so much. I love you too. Thank you guys. Well, Brother Rick, just pull the lights down a little and put some music on. And let me remind you, when Brother Randy mentions the banners, we prayed over those. Give us a little more light out there. When we prayed over these, you know, with the word, Isaiah said that his word would not return to him void. Our prayers haven't returned to him void. They're still out there. Many of the prayers you prayed were already accomplished, still going around. So come on and let's pray. You can sit in your seat or you can go. Here's some prayer cards up here we need to pray over. And so God bless you all for being here tonight.